Coney Island war sports she would play. You could hear her on the boardwalk every day. Soap suds all around, little bubbles on the ground. Rub-a-dub-a-dub in her little tub, all those tunes she found.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Coming up on the show later today, singer-songwriter Linda Draper plays live. But right now we've got the Mills Brothers singing about Coney Island. Whether it happens sooner or later, Coney Island's seedy charms will give way to a high-tech water park and a swanky hotel. A major developer has purchased most of the property in the amusement district, including Astroland. But as residents and visitors hold their breath to see what's in store for the fabled beachfront, the music shows no signs of stopping. Tomorrow is the 25th annual Mermaid Parade, and here to get us in the spirit is Charles Denson, head of the Coney Island History Project and a self-described coneyologist. Charlie, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thank you.
So we all know about the boardwalk amusements, the rides, the hot dogs, etc. What kind of a music history does Coney Island have?
Well, Coney Island started with music, and it actually started with waltzes. The very first amusement was Eddie and Hart's Pavilion at the west end of Coney Island. The first pier was built there in 1845, and it was a tent-covered dance pavilion where people would drink and waltz.
Now,
and
that sounds very genteel to us, but in the 1840s, the waltz was still a kind of suggestive thing to do, wasn't it?
Oh, for the time it was, and it was considering you left Manhattan and went on this 9-mile ferry ride, and then you were in a place where you had complete freedom, people had fun at the West End.
Uh-huh. So from the get-go, Coney Island had this certain allure, an appeal for people who perhaps were on the margins of accepted behavior. Which brings us to the Mermaid Parade. Now, I said tomorrow is the 25th annual Mermaid Parade, but that too has a longer tradition, doesn't it?
Well, the Mermaid Parade is a revival of sorts of the Coney Island Mardi Gras, which began in 1903 and went on until 1954. And it's been revived, but with a little bit more nudity than you had at the original Mardi Gras.
You know, it's all in the spirit of those 1840 waltzes. You know, you've got to do something to stay on the cutting edge. Were the Roaring Twenties a particularly big time for music in Coney Island?
Well, actually, the big time was during the mid-1890s until about 1913. You had the military bands. John Philip Sousa was a regular in Coney Island, and he performed from 1893 until probably the end of Dreamland in 1911. And the Marine bands were very popular. Patrick Gilmore and John Sousa played rags. They had the Calliope rag, the summer performances, and he wrote all of these Coney Island-themed songs. I've Made My Plans for the Summer, written expressly for Luna Park, and he performed every summer for about 20 years, and military bands were very popular in those days.
Wow. And then in vaudeville, it seems like Coney Island was a favorite topic as well.
Oh, that's where Jimmy Durante got his start. Jimmy Durante and Eddie Cantor played at Diamond Tony's Saloon on the Bowery, and that was around 1911. And his ragtime piano was well-known in Coney Island. He was famous, Jimmy Durante.
We're speaking with Charles Denson. He's author of the book Coney Island Lost and Found. And here's a lost bit of musical history from Coney Island from Ada Jones and Len Spencer. It's called Coming Home from Coney Island.
And make room for me, lady. You got lots of rum outside? Yes, and you got lots of rum inside. Sit down, Maggie. All right, we're going around the twist.
I don't understand a word they're saying with all that surface noise, but that's an old recording of Ada Jones and Len Spencer, and it's not just a song, it's a whole story about coming home from Coney Island. And we are looking at the musical history, the surprisingly rich musical history of Coney Island, with Charles Denson, who's head of the Coney Island History Project. Charlie, you were quoted in the New York Times as saying that Coney Island is, quote, still a poor man's paradise, unquote. I guess that's an attraction to musicians over the decades. Folk hero Woody Guthrie actually lived in Coney Island in the 1940s. How did he fit in? How did he kind of capture that everyman vibe?
Well, Woody Guthrie wound up on Mermaid Avenue. He moved there in 1946, and his mother-in-law was the Yiddish poet Eliza Greenblatt, and he was exposed to this Jewish community in Coney Island and began writing Jewish songs about Jewish heritage. He wrote The Hanukkah Dance, The Many and the Few, and Mermaid Avenue. And the lyrics to that begin, Mermaid Avenue, that's the street where the lox and the bagels meet, where the halva meets the pickle, where the sour meets the sweet. And actually, Ramblin' Jack Elliott came and lived with the Guthries at that time, and Arlo Guthrie was born on Mermaid Avenue. And he even wrote about different events in Coney Island. He had a song called Luna Park's on Fire, and he wound up being part of the Coney Island community until 1954.
And a lot of the songs that he wrote are just now being recorded by bands like The Klezmatics, who did this version of Mermaid Avenue.
That's the street where the lox and bagels meet, where the halva meets the pickle, where the sour meets the sweet, where the beer flows to the ocean, where the wine runs to the sea. Why they call it Mermaid Avenue, that's more than I can see. But there's
Mermaid Avenue, recorded by New York's own Klezmatics. Actually, they've played that song here live in our studio on Soundcheck in the past. It's a Woody Guthrie song written while Woody was living on Mermaid Avenue in Coney Island. Tomorrow's the 25th annual Mermaid Parade in Coney Island. Charles Denson, head of the Coney Island History Project, is with us. Charlie, you grew up in Coney Island, is that right?
Yes, I grew up a block from where Woody Guthrie lived.
Well, now, you've already, I mean, we've heard about John Philip Sousa coming back constantly to Coney Island to play there, Woody Guthrie living there and writing songs about Coney Island. That's two major American musical figures. What was in the air when you were growing up in Coney Island?
Well, this was the time of, of doo-wop, and there were doo-wop groups on every corner singing. All the teenagers got together, and that was kind of the soundtrack of Coney Island. And then in the 1960s, a ride called the, it had three different forms, the Polar Express, the Calypso, and the Himalaya, became popular attractions because they played Motown. And it was really, for I'd say 5 or 6 years, the Motown and dancing on the Bowery in Coney Island and on West 12th Street. It was really popular, and one of those rides still exists today, and that's where the soundtrack now is rap music, and it creates quite a crowd.
Mm-hmm.
But Latin music's always been popular in Coney Island. You can still hear some of the Latin bands playing on the boardwalk, Santos Band, and still the classic song was probably Under the Boardwalk. It doesn't get much more Coney Island than that. It has a double meaning for those of us who know about the Underwood Hotel, but I'd say the Drifters probably defined Coney Island the best.
So that kind of street corner harmonizing, the sound that characterized so much doo-wop, was that just kind of a spontaneous thing? You'd get four or five friends who knew how to sing, and they'd end up on a street corner together, and that's how you would pass the time?
I think it was because there's a group called the Cookies, and Margaret Ross, who still lives in Coney Island, was a member of the Cookies, and they recorded the song Chains, which was also covered by the Beatles, and then they wound up touring with the Beatles back in 1964, and two members went on to work with the Raelettes, Earl Jean McRae. And they started singing in just harmonizing in Kaiser Park next to Mark Twain Junior High on Neptune Avenue. And Martin Russ will be performing here in Coney Island on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. But
also,
we
had Neil Sedaka and Neil Diamond. Both went to Lincoln High in Coney Island and grew up in the area.
It is a rich musical history, and it does include this this band called The Cookies. And here's the song that Charlie was just telling us about called Chains. Chains by the Cookies, who started in Coney Island and were part of that 50s doo-wop sound. Charlie Denson's with us. He's the author of the book Coney Island Lost and Found. And Charlie, there was a steep decline in Coney Island's fortunes starting in the 60s, going all the way through the 80s. How did that impact the musical scene there?
Well, things, it was kind of a war zone back in the 70s, but Coney Island has survived, and as I said, there was a lot of music connected with the rides. Every ride had its own soundtrack, and that's what's made Coney Island unique, is that it's never been one amusement park, a single corporate amusement park. It's always had individual ride owners whose personality was reflected in what kind of music they would play. So the music was a big part of the 70s, and I think it kept it going.
Well, and of course, in the 70s, you had songwriters like Lou Reed, who liked to tap into the fact that New York's seedy side was on display for the world to see, and famously recorded this piece, Coney Island Baby.
Oh, but remember that the city is a funny place. Something like a circus or a zoo. And just remember, different people have peculiar tastes. And the glory of love. The glory of love. The glory of love might see you through.
Yeah, now, Lou Reed's Coney Island Baby. And tomorrow's the 25th annual Mermaid Parade in Coney Island. We're speaking with Charles Denson, who's head of the Coney Island History Project. And joining us now on the phone is Vic Thrill, an electro-Americana rocker from Brooklyn whose visits to Coney Island have become an important part of his musical sound. Vic, you've participated in the Mermaid Parade over the years, haven't you?
Many times.
And what keeps you going back?
Just the freak factor, and, when you combine the freak factor with the beach, of course, that setting. It's just a harmonic convergence of weirdness and a beautiful setting at the same time, from the from all the creativity that's put into the parade by people for no apparent reason, starting that way, it's such an absurd thing, and then hanging out at Ruby's, on the boardwalk,
mm-hmm.
and then the procession down to the beach is always a major pagan.
So it's like a kind of a ritual.
It is a ritual, yes, definitely.
Now, there's the title track on your latest album, called Circus of Enlightenment, has some very evocative sounds. Tell us about those.
That's a heavily Coney Island-inspired song, and the record, as a matter of fact, Circus of Enlightenment. One day, I'd always dreamed of writing a record called Mayor of Coney Island, where I could actually play that part, where I walked around with a, I guess Dick Ziggin would be that guy, but So some of the sounds that are on that are, let's see, there's the, it's so hard to explain because a lot of those things were derived sort of electronically.
Uh-huh. Well, all right, let's hear a bit of the song, and then maybe, you know, we can figure out what we're actually listening to. Circus of Enlightenment from Vic Thrill and the Saturn Missile. That's called Circus of Enlightenment, title track from the latest album by Vic Thrill and the Saturn Missile. Vic is with us on the phone and has explained that this is a very much a Coney Island-inspired record. Lots of layered sounds going on there, so I could understand, Vic, why you would have trouble sort of picking out what was going on. But some of the voices, were they actually, I mean, were you walking around in Coney Island with a tape recorder going to get some of that stuff, or was it all archival?
No, that's all me. And that's just me doing some Barker-ish type of stuff, now that you ask me about the sounds, I mean, you know, you have a lot of organy type of stuff sounding, a lot of swirling type of stuff that sounds like, the song almost sounds like it's a ride.
Like a calliope, like
exactly,
a carousel.
Like a calliope. It's got that organ calliope sound in there as well.
Charlie Denson still with us. Tell us about the actual Coney Island carousel that you've recorded. What kind of instrument is it?
Well, I think nothing symbolizes Coney Island better than a carousel band organ. And this was the B&B carousel was in Coney Island, the last of the great carousels, actually most of it manufactured in Coney Island, and it was a Begruiter band organ. And it's really the Coney Island soundtrack. And just before the city bought it and dismantled it, and it will be restored in the future, I did the last recording of the band organ when it was operating.
When was that?
That was 2 years ago.
All right. Well, this and Vic, is this one of to you? Is this one of the signature sounds of Coney Island? Do you know what the machine that Charlie's talking about?
I don't know the machine that he's talking about. I'm wondering if I've heard it. Where?
Well, you're going to hear it right now. Let me play some of it for you. This is one of Charles Denson's recordings the carousel. All right, Charlie Denson recorded the carousel at Coney Island before it was dismantled a couple of years ago to be restored. And meanwhile, songwriter Tom Waits, always attracted to what Vic Thrill calls the freak factor, used that sound in his song Calliope. All right, well, it was an interesting sound to begin with, becomes even more so in Tom Waits' hands. Vic Thrill, so once we started playing that actual recording of the carousel, it sounded like you recognized it immediately.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it makes me want to cry.
Is that what drives a lot of, you know, what's in the Mermaid Parade and, you know, the other music festivals, this kind of nostalgia for an old, you know, a kind of a music tradition that never maybe existed anywhere else?
Yeah, I mean, I would say so. You know, it's not just about music, of course. The parade, but like, I mean, I would say if there's anything of a musical influence to me, like one reason I always wanted to get a little summer place down in Coney Island was because of just the din of all of the different rides kind of mashing together, all those weird sounds competing with each other.
And why do you said the freak factor. It was the first thing you said when I asked you what it was about Coney Island that attracted you. It's not just you. I mean, you know, Lou Reed, more recently the band Death Cab for Cutie. I mean, you know, artists who are not from Coney Island are seduced by its freakish charms.
Yeah.
Why do you, what's at play there? Why do you think that happens?
Well, I think for me, it's a break from the mainstream, that's for sure. I mean, these are people down there. When I say, now I'm friends with a lot of the freaks, the actual freaks from the freak show, the sideshow.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they're living this alternative existence down there, and they've honed these crafts that are long forgotten.
Right. Well, you know, that's it, and that actually brings us to what will have to be our closing question. And Charlie, I'm going to address it to you. There's this big real estate boom going on. Can Coney Island maintain that mystique through development?
Coney Island can and will survive. It survived Robert Moses' assault back in the 1940s, and I think it'll survive this latest assault. There's plenty. There'll always be a Coney Island. There'll always be a beach and boardwalk, the Wonder Wheel, Cyclone, Parachute Jumper landmarks. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens with this rezoning, but...
But it's like England. There will always be a Coney Island. All right, we'll have to leave it there. Charles Denson is head of the Coney Island History Project. Vic Thrill is his new CD is called Circus of Enlightenment. Vic Thrill and the Saturn Missile. To the two of you, thanks for being with us today on Soundcheck.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Charlie.
The Mermaid Parade is tomorrow at 2 p.m. And to the strains of Coney Island by Death Cab for Cutie, we wrap up this first segment of Soundcheck. In a moment, New York singer Linda Draper plays some of her airy, minimal folk songs live in our studio and talks about her new album, The Keepsake. And coming up later, we'll find out why the notoriously L.A.-averse Woody Allen is heading west to direct an opera. This is Soundcheck. Soundcheck.